The reading of God's Word for Christmas Eve from Luke's Gospel in the second chapter, verse 7 through 20. And she, that is Mary, gave birth to her firstborn, a son. She wrapped him in cloths and placed him in a manger because there was no room for them in the inn. And there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. Today, in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is Christ the Lord. This will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger." Suddenly a great company of the heavenly host appeared with the angel, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace to men on whom his favor rests." When the angels had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let's go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about." So they hurried off and found Mary and Joseph and the baby who was lying in the manger. When they had seen him, they spread the word concerning what had been told them about this child. And all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds said to them. But Mary treasured up all these things and pondered them in her heart. The shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things they had heard and seen, which were just as they had been told. May the Lord add his blessing to this reading of his holy word. All this season at Daleville Christian Church, we have looked at people, the people God contacted to take part in God's plan to save us through Jesus, the Christ, the Messiah. God contacted everyone through God's messengers called angels, because that's what the word angel means. God's messengers. God contacted everyone through God's messengers. All of these real people are figured in every manger scene or creche. Perhaps not Zechariah, but we look to him first in this season. We began in late November, the season of Advent, the season of preparation. Well, let's talk about angels for a minute. There are almost 100 references to angels in the whole Bible. Some people get really interested in angels. I'm not sure why. They're always portrayed as good-looking, although the Bible doesn't say that. And angels have some powers, but Jesus is over all of them. So we should be more interested in Jesus, right? But here's the point that Luke, our author, is showing us. Angels are messengers from God, and if we had any questions about that, Luke even says right here in his book, "I am Gabriel," which means strong one of God. God is mighty, and I stand in the presence of God. Well, back in the day, we might have called them runners. In our state house, we call them pages. They wait until an official has some message or information to deliver, and the pages deliver it. But today we might call these messengers a part of God's entourage, or even God's posse, and maybe God's homies. But Luke is making this very clear. This stuff is from God himself. So nothing much is happening in Luke's book until verse 11, and we are told that God is in this. Chapter 1, verse 11. God is involved. What we are really being told is that God is the main character. Nothing much happens before God's messengers show up. the messenger having just come from God himself, and now, because of God, all kinds of things are about to take place. Now I want to tell you about a perfectly good prayer. It's a prayer that I have approved for people in special circumstances, even recommended. And these are the circumstances. The person we are praying for has hurt the person who will pray for them. The person who will pray may have already forgiven their offender. The person who's praying may have already forgiven their offender, or they plan to forgive their offender, but the offender doesn't care one way or another. Here's the prayer that the person who was hurt can pray for their offender. Lord, bless him and keep him far away from me. Behind that prayer is a truth, or at least we think it's true many times. We so often believe that other people are our problem. It's other people's sins that bother us so much. Certainly news headlines, wherever you get your news, news headlines are full of the wrongs that other people are doing to your neighbor or to innocent bystanders, or in some cases even the evil or wrong they are doing to you. Bernie Madoff, who died last year, is a good example. Bernie Madoff ran the largest investment scam in all of American history. It wasn't a business entity, it wasn't a corporation, it wasn't a psychopath or a drug lord or a political leader. It was a guy in a three-piece suit who drove to work every day. Now, he had some help and some luck, but basically, it was Bernie Madoff. The day Madoff was arrested, his business, named Bernard L. Madoff Investment Securities, listed holdings were $60 billion. The problem was that there wasn't $60 billion to be found. But Bernie Madoff lived a billionaire lifestyle. How about a $7 million Manhattan penthouse apartment? By the time Madoff died in prison at age 82, court-appointed trustees recovered 14 of the $60 billion. And that means if you gave Bernie Madoff $5 to invest, a few years later you got a dollar back. Maybe. Lord, bless him and keep him far away from me. As I said, it's a perfectly good prayer. I prayed that prayer, and if you knew some of my cousins, you would know why. I recommend that prayer to you wherever and whenever you need to pray it. You are praying for the Lord to benefit your offender. Bless him and keep him. Jesus called us to do that. Lord, bless him and keep him far away from me. You could have prayed that prayer for Bernie Madoff. But all of those investors would want to be saved from Bernie Madoff's sins. Yes? Would you agree? We want to be saved from other people's sins. Sure we do. However, Jesus' name, the name the angel told Joseph to name the coming baby to be born, Jesus' name means he saves, or he will save his people from their sins. The Messiah was going to save God's people from their sins. But like Bernie Madoff's investors, who wanted to be saved from Bernie Madoff's sins, the Jews wanted to be saved from the Romans and the sins of the Romans. The sins of the Roman worship of other gods, of idols. The sins of the Romans' entertainment in the circuses with gladiators killing each other. The sins of the Romans relaxing in their public baths without any clothes on. And the Romans played sports the same way, completely naked, while Jews read in their Bibles that God himself had made clothes for his people to wear. The Jews, with good reasons, wanted to be saved from the sins of the Romans. Had not the Lord God brought the Hebrews out of Egyptian slavery and away from Egypt and their worship of false gods and idols. But the Jews were experiencing through King Herod and Caesar Augustus the sins of the Romans. Herod was only king because of the Romans. We too, like the ancient Jews, want to be saved from other people's sins, but that is not why Messiah came. Messiah came. God's plan was to save you and me from our sins. We don't like to think about it, but so often we are our own worst enemies, and we don't even know it. Think about your daily habits. Why can't people lose weight? Why can't people quit smoking? Why can't people stop drinking or stop taking painkillers or taking meth or making meth? Why can't people learn to live with their spouse or their children? Why can't people keep a job? Why are those folks still on the street stoplight islands when you and I passed 5 hiring signs getting to that intersection? In this economy, most businesses will hire almost anyone. Some businesses face closing if they can't get more staff. My old sociology professor said there's only one reason for all of that, and it's your choices and your own behavior. Your own decisions and choices. Now, many people need help in knowing what their choices are. Many people don't know that there is help available. But you won't find that help on the traffic island, no matter which traffic island you're on. I know that in many cases, something bad was done to you or happened to you. We can think right now of people who were hit by the tornado in Mayfield, Kentucky. But when things like that happen, whether it's a natural disaster or man-made disaster, you and I have choices to make. How will we respond? What are our choices? Many choose poorly over and over again. But most of us, when we point the blame at someone else, need to notice there are 3 fingers pointing back at ourselves. We do need to be saved from our sins. Jesus came for forgiveness and a new life. Hear now a verse from the Christmas hymn, Angels from the Realms of Glory. I have suggested this season that God's plan for our salvation confronted all of these people, Zechariah, Joseph, Mary. Pastor David Jeremiah put it well when he suggested that Mary might have been planning her wedding. But Mary wasn't planning a baby when Gabriel showed up to tell her that the baby would come first, before she went to live with Joseph, Mary's fiancé. That was a much different plan than Jewish women had in the time of Jesus. Joseph had a plan also. Joseph knew that Mary was pregnant. Joseph knew that the baby was not his before the angel got to Joseph in a dream and told him. Joseph came up with a plan. You might remember the law said that Joseph could legally, by the law of Moses, Joseph could have Mary condemned publicly and executed. Joseph decided the better plan was to divorce Mary quietly. No scandal, no death, just divorce. The messenger of God showed up in Joseph's dream and said there was a better plan. It was God's plan. And here in Joseph's part in the Christmas story, we see one of our own modern problems, because we modern Americans are so confident in ourselves as modern, sophisticated, technological people that we believe we have good plans. And maybe we do. Joseph had a good plan. Joseph's plan would have solved a lot of problems. Divorce Mary quietly. The real problem was that Joseph's plan was not the best plan. The best plan was God's plan. God's plan was Joseph would indeed bring home as his wife a pregnant Mary. Yes, people were going to talk, and no matter what people believed, it wasn't going to be a belief in a virgin birth. Can you blame them? I mean, Mary's is the only virgin birth in the entire Bible. The people in Nazareth would talk about the dishonoring, scandalous thing that Mary or Joseph and or Joseph had done. But it was God's plan, and it was the best plan. With Joseph marrying a pregnant Mary, Joseph gave his name to the baby. Joseph was directed to give the baby the name Jesus, which Joseph did, but Joseph gave another name to Jesus when Joseph kept Mary as his wife. Joseph gave Jesus the name Son of David. It was all legal and proper. Praise the Lord that Joseph could let go of his good plan and embrace the Lord God's better plan. I'm reminded of a vacation Bible saying we learned and taught to the children. It's a lesson from Joseph for all of us. Doing what God wants you to do will always be the best for you. Doing what God wants you to do will always be the best for you. Hear a verse from the Christmas hymn, O Little Town of Bethlehem. Through this season at Daleville Christian Church, I've been preaching on these humans who encountered spiritual beings, the messengers of God, spiritual beings, the angels. These messengers from God, as reported to us in our Bibles, they came to Zechariah, Mary, Joseph, and the shepherds. I look at the manger scene or the creche. We always populate the scene with all the players in God's plan for our salvation. As we have read God's word, we know that the messengers of God went to each person or group in turn, not all at once. These people had different plans. At least we do read that Joseph had different plans. These people were not brought all together in a room for the angel of the Lord to address each one of them together. No, the angel of the Lord, the messenger of God, went to each one. Each one received a different message. Each one had a different part to play in God's plan of salvation for you and me. So although it isn't a contest, I've come to the conclusion that when you are setting up your manger scene or creche, the angel, the messenger of God, is the most important figure in the scene. Luke began his gospel with Zechariah in the temple. Zechariah visited by a messenger of God, the one called Gabriel, whose name means God is my strength, said, I stand in the presence of God Almighty, and I have been sent to you to deliver this message. Hear now a verse of Angels We Have Heard on High. Pastor David Jeremiah suggested that the priest Zechariah's questions to the angel were because Zechariah could not grasp that God's plan was more wonderful than Zechariah had ever imagined. That Messiah would be Emmanuel, God with us. But instead of answering the angel Gabriel with a thank you, the priest Zechariah said, I don't see how this could possibly happen. Zechariah was correct. What was happening was not humanly possible. But as Gabriel would say to Mary, no word from God will ever fail. The Lord God has a better idea, and the Lord God has a better plan. Go with God's plan. As we close with a verse of the hymn, What Child Is This? Excuse me, the hymn, Mary Had a Baby.